calling the instructions for meditation. That's what we called it in English, at least. So there's going to be a bit of time where I'll be kind of connecting the theory, the ideas that were opened up in the talk before, and then, you know, to kind of like something to listen to in that way. So you don't need to already be in your kind of quiet, eyes closed, internal space already. You're welcome to be there if that's where you like to be. But this would be more about kind of just checking that you get the sense of the ideas behind that. Then the second part will be a practice part, bringing that into practice in the more kind of stillness posture, and a bit of guidance, application of that, and then some suggestions on how to bring that out into the walking. And that will make up that part, the instructions for meditation part. Following on from that, those who feel, yeah, that's good, I get it, and go off and do some walking practice, if it feels helpful to share any kind of reflections or questions about those ideas and how to apply it to our practice here, we'll have that part right after there. We can say a bit more about that at the time, but just so that you know, there'll be that chance to kind of check in. Either it's ideas from the talk, suggestions in the morning, have that period of time each day to do that. That's very optional. So if you prefer just to go out and do the walking, you're very welcome. So I'm saying that also so that you can kind of pick what's the right posture to be in for each of these parts for you, right? So the posture is something that's very supportive and it helps us kind of finding our way there. So we want to say quite a lot more about posture later on. I'll say a little bit shortly, as it's quite an important part of our practice, and we want you to be as comfortable as you can be. But those who feel it'll be helpful to explore it a bit more, at 12:15, the walking period before lunch, we'll meet in here and say a lot more about posture, and we can even work with you individually to get you as comfortable as possible, if you'd like that. So feel free to come back with this. Later on in the afternoon, we'll begin having the small group meetings. And some of you may know that, you may understand the English that I'm speaking, but not feel comfortable expressing yourself in English or being in a group that's entirely in English. So if you would prefer that, we've put a sheet up on the board and you can add your name to that if you would prefer to be in a group that's not in English. Okay, so feel free to do that. The last practical thing to say is that some of you may have noticed that a watch beeped at something, like some watches beep like near the hour or on the hour. This one was more like near the hour. So if that's your beeping watch, I think your clock is wrong. But if you have a watch that beeps and you want to, you know, help adjusting that, then please, you know, approach our dear managers and they can help you. Also give your watch the chance to go into silence more. So yeah, we're not obsessive about silence and things like that, and if something beeps, it's fine, right? But if we can take care of that over the days, it can be really helpful. And in a similar way, you know, how we kind of calm on time, stay for the sessions when they close, we can, you know, start drinking outside, just so that you have that sense that some people are probably still practicing, still engaging with their experience, and we can already begin to start supporting them. Okay, so take a little bit of time to speak about some of the ideas that we can explore here. So although we call these instructions, they're much more like invitations or suggestions. If you've got your own practice, you're really happy to keep going with that, really feel invited to. Yeah, it's your life, it's your experience, it's your thing to do. So, you know, these are suggestions, things that will be helpful for many of us. Yeah. And over the whole retreat, there'll be kind of a development on those ideas. Not really a hierarchy kind of development, but like we'll build on earlier senses and and deepen that way. So if you go your own way, you're kind of going your own way, but you're very, very welcome to. Yeah, very welcome to. The suggestions for today is actually, are there ways that we can be a bit more spacious and a bit more intimate with our experience? Yeah, supporting a sense of spaciousness, but also supporting a sense of getting close to our experience. And to be developing that, we're going to choose something that's already present that we can rest our attention in. So you could meet the breath, this experience of breathing. And the breath can be a really wonderful object of attention for us, often overlooked, but actually kind of brings us within our experience and can sustain us in connection there. For some of us, being so close into the body or for other reasons, you know, the breath, it doesn't really work for us, doesn't work as a meditation object, and that's fine. And if you like, you know, we could listen to the sounds that are arising and passing in our experience. And both of those can be met with more spaciousness, kind of more interest, more intimacy, more connection. Okay. So we're going to be kind of adjusting that aspect of our experience. And the reason why is that our experience is really impacted by the amount of spaciousness that we feel. So we can actually change our experience, change how it feels to be having this experience by the amount, the quality of the space. And more of that space can actually allow more connection, more intimacy, more direct feeling into there. Because there's less reactivity, more peacefulness, more joy, maybe even more well-being. Kind of comes through there, and those start to feed each other, support each other. So we can both change the amount of space that we feel by changing the kind of attitude with which we listen. And when it comes to the breath, we can also change it by actually the way that we breathe. Okay. So some of you might have a practice which has the very beautiful, delightful idea of don't interfere with the breath. Just watch it like you're watching, you know, a bird in a tree or something. Just try not to disturb it, try and just watch it, see it in that way. Here, we are going to be suggesting actually changing the breath a little bit. It's like, what would happen if the breath got a little bit longer or went a little bit deeper, soothed into the, maybe into the belly more? What would that actually do for our experience if the breath were in that way, longer, smoother, softer, wider, maybe, something like this. Yeah. Same thing as we listen to the sounds, there's different ways of listening to those sounds. With more, we could listen to more of the distant sounds. Yeah, we could listen more to the quiet sounds. In that way, we're changing our experience through those elements of our experience. Right? Is that making sense so far? Yeah? Okay. So, as we do that, our experience becomes a little bit more subtle. And this is an interesting word. What do we mean by that? It means that it feels lighter. It feels less solid. Feels like it has more delicacy, right? So our attention becomes gentler, more spacious, and the things that it reveals also become a little bit more delicate and refined. And yeah, okay. That often could be used as a description of feeling more free, right? Feeling less loaded, feeling less rigid, feeling less tight, feeling less pressure, less contracted, all of those things. that indicate to us that we're not feeling very free. So if there's the opportunity for us to pay attention to our experience and guide the way that it is, that brings us more well-being, more freedom, more intimacy, more delicacy, more subtlety, it makes sense that we should give that a try. Right? So that's the premise. That's the idea. So it's a few more words about this choice that I've presented. You're going to work with the breath, body sensations. You're going to work with the sounds. Both will work. There's something that is kind of just a little extra advantage with the breath that can be helpful here. Is that because the breath kind of changes by itself according to the state of the heart and the mind as we're experiencing it in this moment, the breath gets more subtle as the attention gets more subtle. Does that make sense? So as your experience becomes lighter, then so does the breath. Okay? So the breath responds to the quality of the heart and mind. Does that make sense? Now, obviously, only to some degree will the sounds in your environment do that. Yeah, they're not necessarily going to start changing in that way. So that's kind of an additional advantage of the breath. As we get calmer, then the breath gets calmer and quieter, which encourages our attention to get more refined so that it can follow that, so it can pay attention to that. And that kind of loop feeds into each other and kind of deepens in that way. But you can listen to the sounds in a more subtle way. You can still do that. Right? Underneath that, you could listen more to the silences between the sounds. You could listen to the sounds, not so much as, ah, AC, that's a bird, you know, that's a voice. You just listen. These are just frequencies, vibrations, ripples, movements through the air. Right? So we can still change our experience by changing the concept of it. Similarly, we can be thinking about the breath while we're paying attention to the breath and not realize that I'm actually, you know, maybe I'm imagining the images from some kind of biology textbook that I saw once of these kind of windpipes and lungs kind of filling up and going down. And I could equally just say there's just this energy coming through or coming out. And you know, we just want to encourage the sensibility, which is the way that we sense something, to move us towards a sense of well-being. So this is probably the point to say we're quite big fans of playfulness in the practice. So if you find something, that's going to be fun to do, right? As well as, you know, I'm keeping my mindfulness, or, you know, keeping my presence, doing all of this and being with my experience quite directly. But I'm also just playing with, it's nice to breathe this way. Rather than breathing up and down the front of the body, maybe more the back, feel the breath, the back of the area. Yeah. Maybe more than that sense of the sounds are out here. Maybe I just feel that actually all of the sounds are arising and passing within a big, big awareness. That's where I stretch out to, all of that way. See it in these ways. So if there's an idea that feels helpful to bring in, we'll bring that in. And we're not just going to be, you know, bring that in, then bring this one in, that kind of chaos thing. But also a lot of patience. So I'm going to bring that in and I'm going to see what it does. I'm going to take my time with this idea, breathing down the back, many breaths this way. See what that starts to do is, I'm shifting backwards, taking up more of this space. Oh, that really supports an easing. I'm breathing this way, and it's actually that supporting and energizing. Yeah, so we can start to adjust our experience in these ways. Okay. As we start to develop a more subtle experience, we're actually demanding of attention to become more refined, being able to notice those details and stay with them. And in the beginning, it won't. Yeah, it'll just slip away. Maybe already, even the most obvious of breath or sound sensations won't hold the heart and the mind. Like, it's much more interested in, you know, telling us about, you know, pressures in our life, you know, things that we forgot to do at home, you know, things we have to do when we get back, all of these kind of things. Like, this is what the mind does. Right? It's a very, very helpful thing to have, an intellect, an intelligence. And we don't want to create an enemy out of something which is also a great friend, right? The mind is saying to us, I see you're not very busy right now. You seem to only be paying attention to your breath. I've got the breath. I've been doing the breath my whole life. I don't need you coming in, interfering with the breath. What you need to do is to, yeah. So the mind is a helpful friend, and it's suggesting things which in our life overall are going to be useful. Yeah. If it weren't, then we would have probably offered you some special operation at the beginning of the retreat to turn that off, right? It's a useful thing. We don't want to get into a battle with it. But also, maybe there's a happiness here that's possible if we don't plan the rest of our life in this moment. Maybe there's a unification, a gathering, a harmonization of experience that's available for us now. And in that moment where we notice, this is the seventh time I'm doing my weekly shopping list, you know, then we don't say, I'm such an idiot, I could never meditate, you know, which would be tempting. It would be tempting to say that. But we're not going to say that. We're going to say, I've just noticed what I'm doing. What happens if I bring the breath into this moment? A really nice breath. Like one of those special ones that I save up just for special occasions. That one. The really filling one that opens the heart and softens the belly. Maybe I'll have one of those. And then maybe I'll have another one of those. Or maybe I'll just change what, not listen just to these thoughts, but there's also sounds around. I'm going to open up that space. Yeah, if that's our practice. Are there any sounds above me? No. Explore that. What are the sounds above or behind? And see how those kind of start to change those experiences. So in my practice, I don't really like to use, you know, this sense of like distractions are bad and you need to come back to the meditation object. I much prefer the sense of like, this is a moment of being found. I'm actually present now. I'm here. What should we do? And I like to kind of have this image. It's like, let's fade in the breath into this moment. Let's bring the breath back up. Let's bring the sounds into this moment. You don't need to get rid of these thoughts, but they're conditioned by a certain way of being. And what happens if I start breathing in a really delightful way? Like a shopping list, you know, comparing myself to someone else. It just can't hold itself in that same way. There's a more beautiful, more delightful experience available for us. Yeah. So that's, notice that the mind is wandering. It's, we're back at the party. What should we do? Back in the gathering. Whole body, heart, mind, attention, awareness are here. We can play with those. We said we'd say a little bit about posture, so I'll say a little bit now and we'll say a lot more later on. In the hall here, you have the choice of three types of posture. One is you could stand up, right? So anytime you like, you can stand up. You can practice standing up, standing like a tree. And that can be really helpful if the energy is fading. Yeah, kind of collapsing. We really want a bit more energy, stand up. As we stand up, I think it's important to then, it's important for me at least, to remember my intention for being here. Yeah, maybe even before I stand up, I want to remember that. In English, I don't doubt that Hebrew can do something very similar. We have this saying, I'm standing up for something. I'm standing up for women's rights. I'm standing up for human rights. I'm standing up for equality. I'm standing up for, what was that intention? Why did I come here? What did I want to see more? I'm standing up for friendliness. Yeah, it's like my own little demonstration of that in this moment. That can be an encouragement to kind of take that posture. So, yeah, I don't want to just be nodding away. In the hall, if you feel it's really helpful for you, maybe there's a physical condition that you have, some people have already asked about this, check in with us. But, you know, lying down is a posture that we can use for meditation. Not so much in the hall, but, you know, maybe around on the grass or something at certain times, it's going to be helpful just to get that real surrender, that real grounding, you know, so that we're connecting with the earth, feeling that support of the earth. You know, also can kind of let go a lot of the energy that kind of builds up through the experience. So yeah, taking time to do that and seeing how that impacts our experience, see what that opens. And of course, with all of these things, see also what it doesn't allow so much of. Yeah. And then for a lot of us, a lot of the time, what we'll go for is somewhere that has a bit of both of those. A bit of that standing energy, standing for something, and a bit of that softening, easing in, relaxing, that we can find through the sitting posture. So there's a bit of those, both of those things. So whether you're in a chair, on the floor, on the bench, having that feeling of that rootedness. So those parts of the body that are connected with the floor, feeling that, yeah, they be relatively well, equally supported. So for me on a chair, it's my two feet, my buttocks on the chair. I'm just checking that that's, yeah, I've got that connection. I can rest into that. And the way that I rest into that also allows this uprightness. Yeah, I still feel like I'm standing up for something. I've got my head quite well balanced over my torso. My shoulders can relax. Chest can open. Belly can soften. And then hands are quite well supported so that I don't collapse. Yeah. So whether that's hands together, hands on the legs. So that kind of brings that sense of groundedness that's also still got flexibility. You know, I haven't gone tight. And then slowly just go through and just relax the muscles that I'm holding. I can soften, the face can soften, and ease into our space. So let's bring this into a practice. Just before, I just want to really underline that at any time a slightly more pleasant experience is available for us. And we can get there maybe just through changing the way that we're breathing. Yeah. Change that just through the way that we're listening to the sounds that are going on. And when we get lost in a train of thought, you know, that our minds are offering us because they feel it's the most helpful thing that we could be doing, don't get judgmental. Don't lose hope. Yeah. We'll see what we can do to guide our attention, invite in what's present, what's nice. So feel what's going to be the right posture for you. We'll come into those. If you want to have a little stretch before settling in, feel free. Those of you who have chosen to stand, encouragement to Consider allowing the knees to be kind of soft. Sometimes we lock the knees, just as in the sitting posture as well. Don't want to get too rigid, too stiff. Just imagining that we have a torso, a core, and arms and legs that are like pipes. We want a nice flow of the energy to flow through. So just as a tree can sway in the breeze, have that softness through the body. Those of us who are seated, also feeling that connection, support of the earth, earthiness of the body, meeting the earthiness of the floor and the cushions. We soften the face. Find a connection to the breath, to the sounds that are flowing through this awareness. Speak a little bit to the breath as we settle in, but this can be something that's quite helpful to do with the breath or with the sound. Let's just see for the next three breaths, can we really notice the beginnings of the breath? Almost if it comes out of stillness, we just notice it build into a breath. And then let go of the attention with that. Just let the rest of the breath happen. If the attention follows it or not, that's fine. But we just want to get to know the next three beginnings of an in-breath. And then resting. The attention follows the breath. It's gotten interested already. That's fine. If it's noticing something else, that's fine. And again, another three breaths, really noticing the very first molecule of air that starts to move in. Can we notice that? Again, resting, maybe letting the attention be quite wide, whole body perhaps. Or with the sounds, the whole room, aware of the sounds arising and passing. Again, we're going to do three breaths, but let's see, rather than directing the attention like a laser beam, can we receive the breath from that wideness? last little instruction, suggestion, and then leave you to practice quietly. But whenever we can remember, letting the attention be kind of wide, meaning maybe the whole body, including the back of the body. At least if we're listening to sounds, at least as wide as the room. Could go wider. See if we can invite in whole of the in-breath into attention. Maybe you can go quite deep, quite long, quite smooth. You don't need to move more air. It's almost like it slows down and lengthens as much as feels comfortable. And you do these little three-breath pockets of awareness and then rest. And another three breaths and rest. noticing where the attention is drawn at this time. No judgment, it's just the thinking that's occurring. We can notice that and also notice how it is to soften the face. Maybe relax the belly. Enjoying the support of the earth. The alignment up through the spine as the head balances. And what happens if we open the awareness a little bit wider? And particularly invite the attention into the out-breath. Letting the in-breath happen by itself, but still be quite long. Maybe more of the attention into the out-breath. Maybe the relaxation quality of that out-breath. Might already be helpful to play around a little bit with seeing this as an energy that can really soften. Maybe you'll feel it as if it goes out the back of the body. Next three breaths, out breath. notice, as you notice where attention just was, you expand around it. Becomes the object in attention, not the fullness that it once was. Same kind of expansion that can bring attention to the whole of the body, the breath within that, with the whole of the room and the sounds arising and passing within that. We come into the last few minutes, really emphasize a sense of kindness in the attention, whatever sounds we hear, be allowed, just welcomed to appear and disappear. Some energy, some effort in keeping the awareness wide and the attention delicate. So we can know what it is that's unfolding. Support some degree of pleasantness in the in-breath and out-breath or listening to sound for these last minutes. coming into the last minute, just notice that it's quite normal for the body to have a habit to return to a sense of tension, or the breathing or listening to revert to a more narrow, shorter, more coarse way. We're always free just to incline back towards what we sense would be more pleasant, more enjoyable. At the moment, ring the bell and see if we can sustain a sense of nourishment and ease that we've cultivated as we transition across. So, say a little bit about the walking practice before we go into it. Something that those of us who are kind of familiar with having a daily practice might do is, you know, we have that practice and a bell rings and it's done. I've done for the day. Okay, I did it. And now I'm going to get on with the rest of my life. And, you know, that's perfectly fine way of practicing. We could play around with something here, and we could also play around with something there later, maybe. But there's something that we've been building through that period of time, and it requires a certain way of being. And maybe we want to sustain that and actually bring it with us into the next thing. So when a bell rings, it's really important just to take our time, I feel. It just checks, okay, what have I done? Has anything changed? You know, take the time to enjoy, have a little tour around the body, the heart, the mind. It's like, whoa, yeah, things are actually much more delicate or energized or calm or whatever it is. It's like, wow, yeah, I played a part. I did something, supported something. Now, as I move, open the eyes maybe, you know, whatever it is that's changing, can I sustain that a little bit? And the way that I speak about this, to make it easy for me to remember, is like it's almost as if we're blowing up a balloon of something during this practice. Yeah? Some intention, something that we're adding more of, softness, you know, kindness, enjoyment, pleasantness, whatever. It's like inflating that balloon. And when the bell rings, we don't just let go of the balloon and let it fly away. It's, yeah, can I keep that? Can I take it out for a walk? Can I bring it along with me to the meal, whatever it is, you know? See if we want to, we can keep that going as much as we can. So, yeah, keep the balloon inflated. And as you're out with the walking, maybe it's the same intention. You want to keep going and just take a little puff into that balloon and keep it going, keep it supporting us all the way through. So initially that might sound like, well, now you're just making us do more work. You know, like we're meant to have these little breaks between the meditation sections, you know, but it's over time, I think it actually makes it a lot easier. You know, it's like a low level energy through that. You can bring that into the next thing. Okay. I appreciate that might sound odd or whatever, but I'm going to trust that you're going to find your own way with something that sounds odd and be able to make it work for you. And if you can't, then in a moment we'll have some time for questions and reflections and clarifications. So we haven't said a lot about walking meditation, and that's not because it's not fantastic. It is fantastic. Walking meditation is, you know, one of the great meditations that we can do. And it adds quite a lot of dimensions that we don't have so much in the stillness practices. So many of us also close our eyes when we're being still here. And so being able to practice with the eyes open and seeing how attention is supported as we move through a movement period. So you can do this practice as walking, many people will, some form of movement with presence and the cultivation of enjoyment in there. So there's a few suggestions. One is take a relatively short area and just kind of walking back and forth in that area. It might be about 10 steps, 7 steps long. It doesn't have to be very long. And for today, what can be really interesting to see is, can we really get to know that feeling of the body moving? It might be the feeling of the contact of the feet and the weight of the body coming into contact with the earth. You might take your shoes off and feel the grass. You might be feeling it through your through what you're wearing on your feet, whatever. It could be more that you want to feel the whole of the legs and the way that they move. Yeah. Whatever it is that kind of feels that it's going to support your attention, and you can bring it in with a sense of lightness and delight and enjoyment. The second thing that I find helpful to think about in terms of this walking is then not to say I have to pay absolute attention from, you know, the beginning to the end, and it's, you know, I've got to all the 7 steps or whatever it is that I'm doing have to be, you know, perfectly mindful, and this whole period of time I have to be completely present. So you may notice with the breathing kind of practice, and hopefully you can transfer that to the sounds, is that, you know, maybe just do 3 breaths and see if you can really be with 3 breaths that way. And that also works for me. And it's like, can I be with maybe 3 steps? And then, you know, the rest, I'm just enjoying actually walking. And now stop, turn around, be with 3 breaths, really present the whole way through, feeling that whole thing. Those little pockets start to build over time. Maybe it feels like, yeah, 3 is easy. So I do 2 sets of 3, right? Those kinds of things. Helpful for me. So I'm suggesting it if you want to pick that up. I think the third area that I think is quite important in walking meditation is to enjoy it. Yeah. So if you find yourself paying attention so much that you end up, you know, turning into a bit of a robot walking machine, mindfulness machine, feeling every sensation, not going to miss one, that kind of thing, and actually creating quite a lot of stress and tension in yourself. The way I convert that for myself is I imagine it's actually a very unobvious dance of 7 steps over here and then 7 steps back. And there's a lot of fluidity and movement and sensitivity and enjoyment that can kind of come through. You're allowed to move your hips. You're allowed to be sassy or whatever it is, you know, as you move. And the arms can also be involved, you know. So it's about being present in your experience for longer periods of time. And those qualities of art and enjoyment can be really supportive there. And maybe like the last thing to say is do it. Do it. You know, it might seem like, oh yeah, that's the optional bit, or that's the make tea, do laundry, clean my room, whatever else, you know, everything else gets done in the movement, in the walking period. But there's a couple of really good reasons to do it. One is a surprisingly high amount of insights come during the walking period. And it would be a shame if you didn't get those. Yeah. No guarantee, because they, you know, their insights, right? They're a bit unpredictable in that way. But a surprising amount happens there. We can talk another time, really another time, like why that might be. But it's all just theory. The second thing is it's probably going to be really helpful for integrating these practices into your life, where you probably will spend more time moving with your eyes open. Yeah. So we do want that. So learning how to be meditative, and what by that what we mean is creative, engaged, developing, supporting, you know, a more beautiful way of living our lives, more goodwill, all of that. And then, you know, the third reason, it's actually fun to walk, to be a human being on the earth, connected to the earth, sensitive, awake, alive. And so, yeah, why wouldn't we? So that's what I wanted to share this morning. I hope that some of it makes sense. I want to share where you can walk as well. And if you're ready to go out from there, feel free to.